This is Brendan Dillon, defenseman with the Winnipeg Jets. You're listening to the Front Row Podcast.
This show is brought to you by Esdaile Printing. For nearly 40 years, Esdaile has been your source for banners, decals, signs, and your company needs. Check them out at 207 DeBatt Street in Winnipeg or online at esdaileprinting.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at Esdaile Printing or on Facebook.
Hey, welcome back to the Front Row Podcast. I'm here with Jamie Thomas. Welcome back.
Dude, thank you. Nice to catch you on your day off. I appreciate you taking the time on your day off to talk to me.
Yeah, and it's probably a nice day out there today.
Oh, buddy, my air conditioning kicked out today, so we are... The Thomas Mansion is a humid trap right now, so hopefully it cools down tonight.
And Dubois signed over a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, kind of took away some of the stress that's going on. I'm sure there's lots of people a little tight about this whole PLD situation, but I think he was very clear in his media availability. But here's the most important thing we should all point out first. Pierre-Luc Dubois did not ask for a trade. So we got to get that out of the way right now. And he's here. His focus is on this season coming up. I think a lot of things, what he pointed out is, it's hard to think, in his opinion, in his words, of what his life's going to look like in 2 years, 3 years from now. So I mean, as hard as it is for Jets fans to wrap their heads around this, it's kind of hard for all of us to imagine locking down for 8 years or something like that. So I know that. So from his explanation, you know, I think you have a great year this season, him individually and the Jets as a team, as an organization. And I think you reopen up those conversations to sign a long-term deal here. So I just think it's just a wait and see thing. It's very difficult. I don't think it's anything to do with it. I'm certain it's nothing to do with the organization, because he also pointed out the fact that the team was extremely patient in his first year here, when A, he had to be in quarantine after the trade from Columbus, and B, he was injured, so he felt he didn't have his best year, his first year in Winnipeg. So he thanked the Jets for their patience during that time. So I think there's nothing to do with the organization, and we'll just have to wait and see. But I mean, you still cannot knock the fact the Jets have that incredible 1-2 punch of Mark Scheifele and Pierre-Luc Dubois. You know, Mark Scheifele has spoken with Rick Bowness, the new head coach of the Jets. Well, not so new now. That's been news for a long time. And he's all in. So if I think you have a bounce-back year from Mark Scheifele, another great year from Pierre-Luc Dubois, and you have yourself a great 1-2 punch up the middle, where it's just where a lot of games are won.
Yes, and there's two new coaching members on there with Brad and Marty.
Yeah. And I like to start with Marty Johnson, because just a great story, you know, great job in the Manitoba Moose organization for 5 years. His details is one of his strengths. You're bringing in two guys, Brad Lauer, obviously coaching at the Western Hockey League level, two guys that understand the younger player, right? So, So Rick Bowness has been an head coach or an assistant or associate coach for a long time in the National Hockey League. Brad Lauer comes in after winning the Western Hockey League last year with the Edmonton Oil Kings. Understands the younger generation. Not that Rick Bowness doesn't, but that's what your coaching staff is. And Rick Bowness said, the important thing with all these coaches is they're great communicators. And you have two guys, Marty Johnson and Brad Lauer, that understand the younger player, how to communicate with today's player, today's younger player. And I think you have a winning formula there. So, you know, we've already seen how important it is for Rick Bowness being a great communicator, because that's all we've heard about him. You know, from his stops in Vancouver and Tampa and all over the National Hockey League. And you throw in the three other men coaching, of course, Scott Arneil, who understands the Winnipeg market, played here, wants to be here. So I think you have yourself a nice little coaching staff, along with, of course, Wade Flaherty and Matty Prefontaine, the video coach, all together. So you have a great unit of coaches to get this team ready for this upcoming season.
And what's your thoughts on the draft?
I thought, you know, to me, listen, we're all looking at things, and you're always looking for a fix right now. And this draft, you know, clearly the Jets' top first round picks, you know, not going to be here this year. But you've set yourself up nicely in 2 to 3 years down the road. And let's start with Brad Lambert, right? A guy that Bob McKenzie had ranked in his top five beforehand. Just had a tough year. And switched teams in Liga in Finland. And could have came to Canada to play in the Western Hockey League with the Saskatoon Blades. Now the Seattle Thunderbirds own his rights. But he wanted to get better at the defensive side of his game. And in Finland, defense is one of the heavy heavy thought. You think defense first in the league in Finland, the top league in Finland. So you have to give the young guy credit for wanting to improve that part of his game, understanding that if he wants to play in the NHL, has to play that 200-foot game. And maybe didn't have the offensive year that most of us were expecting, but that those abilities are still there. One of the best skaters in the draft. Sky's the limit for this kid. So I think that, that part alone, especially where the Jets got him in the draft, I think they have to be thrilled about. And now you just wait and see how this all works out. But in 2 to 3 years down the road, man, I think the Jets are really going to start, seeing the fruits of their labor again, which they've always drafted very well in the first round. And I think this is another one where you hit with that exact same situation.
And Adidas is ending their contract in a couple of years, looking for a new hockey jersey maker, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So NHL's always looking. It's always looking for the next deal or kind of thing like that too. So it's a business. We're always seeing the official soft drink of the NHL, the official rental car of the NHL. It's a business. They're always looking for the best way to promote their product. So we'll see how this all shakes out. But let's not have any crazy new jerseys coming into this whole scheme of things. We'll have to see how that all looks in a couple of years, however that looks.
I'm more a CCM guy. I like those ones back in the 90s.
I just want to, I'm just hoping they stay away from, remember the 75th anniversary year where they had those crazy looking jerseys with the Ducks jersey with the wild wing on the front, and then the Kings jerseys had the Kings, like the card almost on the front when you play poker. Let's just stay away from those types of jerseys.
Yeah. And I know the Blues had that one Mike Keane squashed with the musical thing on it.
Yeah, that one. No, that was terrible. Yeah. So, I mean, you're not always going to hit a home run with your jerseys, but I still look back on everything and, Montreal has never gone away from their basic standard jersey. Same with Detroit. Toronto's kind of tinkered with theirs. Boston's kind of moved around quite a bit, but Edmonton's almost looking like they're going back to their original jerseys again. And Calgary, same thing. I grew up in Calgary, never understood that flaming horse on the front. I couldn't stand that jersey, the black one. And just all the kind of the black inside the jersey that they had with the red and the gold and the white. Never understood that. So just stay with the jersey you've always had. I understand that jersey sales are important for the bottom line of your organization, but I'm always just happy with what the original jersey looks like. Even the Islanders. The Islanders are looking back to exactly where they were after Captain Highliner and all the disasters in between there, too. So I just like the jersey that they originally came with, and I think that's the best way to go.
And talking about Calgary, they are bringing their AHL franchise to Calgary and calling them the Wranglers.
Yeah, I mean, right now, the Winnipeg Jets will tell you how great that is just to have your farm team just across the street or in the same building. I mean, to be able, with the complication of the border and everything like that, it's just best to have your farm team with you in Canada. I know it's not exactly the easiest thing to do all the time, but how much did last year, with all the COVID cases, the Jets issues they had, the injuries they had, the fact they had their farm team just down the hallway, call this guy in. I mean, it's a much better scenario. It's probably better for your bottom line and for your franchise and how much it's going to cost. And I'm sure Calgary's not going to be the last team to make sure that their farm team is going to be as close as it can get.
As I remember an interview with Hellebuck, someone asked him about getting called up. He's like, I drive the same way to the hockey rink as I did with the Moose. I was like, it's like just going to a different door.
there's enough stress as there is being called up from the minors to prove yourself in the National Hockey League. Why not make it easy and just say you're playing the exact same rink you're playing already, and then the systems are all the same. And if you're playing in the same rink and the same fans, essentially, for the most part, I think that's a winning formula.
Yeah, like Vancouver has their team in Abbotsford, and it's like not too far away, and Toronto has their team in Toronto too. It's down the road.
Yeah.
Montreal has Laval. It's not too far away.
Nope. And Ottawa, it is a winning formula, Donald.
And Ottawa has in Belleville, so.
Yeah. It's all coming together. It's like people have figured things out.
Yeah, and like Nate Smith, Neon Pionk, and Maiso Appleton tied the knot in the summer. Time here. Yeah.
Josh Morrissey, too. It's been a busy month for the nuptials in the Winnipeg Jets organization. I saw a lot of photos kicking around, so it's congratulations to all four of those guys and their lovely wives. It's an exciting time, and you know you have a long spring and even longer summer. Why not celebrate the best way? And that's great news for all four of those guys, and they'll come in new men, refreshed, ready to go for another training camp coming up here in September.
And Adam Lowry won the best dress through the contest in the Jets had.
Yeah. Yeah, we've all seen those photos, right? And we see him walking around. To everybody, everybody has their different tastes, but Lyle's always has those hats that kind of stand out, and you know, the different colored jackets and stuff. He's a well-dressed man, and I can understand why he won the award. So he'll have to see if he can defend it this upcoming season.
As, at the draft, the players came down to their own music. They choose it.
Yeah.
And what do you think about when a player scores and they have their own song goes out?
I would love it, but I mean, there's always a lot of things going on. Here's the thing: I guess in baseball, you can do it through walk-up music. It's pretty easy, but if you're the music guy and you got to look through 18, 19 different guys' names to try and find the right song at the right time, that gets a little challenging, and on the entertain or the event side of things. So, it would be great, but and also you'd have to be careful because you don't know if each song is going to fit, if it's going to offend somebody. There's all those complications in today's world. So, but I mean, I would love it. Anything that lets you know a little bit more about the players, I think, is a good thing, and then it gets, you know, the fans. It's another thing the fan knows about the player. Maybe they like that song too. So, I mean, it's another thing that brings the fans and the players a little bit closer. So I like that idea if that does end up being something that happens, because, you know, we've all been at baseball games and you hear a certain song, you're like, oh yeah, you get excited because you know it's that certain guy that's coming to the plate. Or even, you know, you watch Major League and, you know, the guy comes out of the bullpen, it's a Wild Thing. I mean, it's just that's those things stand out to you. So if they find a way, let's do it.
Yeah, because this adds more to the game and to the player. Yep. And stuff.
Yep.
And
anything that gets you to know the players a little bit more is a great thing for the game, and something I think should be applauded and something that should be worked on.
Yeah, so like they probably have just a generic one for the player who gets called up, and then they just play that one, and
yeah exactly. My boy's gonna play in the big league by Tom Cochran.
That's the thing. Then I've seen where Wheeler's in town right now over at the rink, and so
you know what, I don't think that Blake Wheeler's in a place where he has anything to prove, right? There's just that competitive fire is within that guy at all times. And I, you know, of anybody, last year probably drained him the most because had COVID the beginning part of the year, the bad one, got off to a slower start, then started rolling, got the knee injury, was out for a significant period of time, and then was right back to be a point per game player. So I'm not going to sit there and say Blake Wheeler has to prove anything. I just think there's that extra little incentive to get this team over the hump and back in the playoffs, because we all know how this wasn't what everybody was thinking of. And there's going to be that laser focus from the captain to try and get this team back to where it should be. And that is a playoff team. But I am not downgrading anything, but the West is crazy. And in particular, the Central Division. I know Nazem Kadri hasn't made his decision yet, but Colorado still is defending Stanley Cup champions. we don't need to go through the division and tell you how difficult it's going to be. But I think he'll make sure, along with the rest of the coaching staff, that this team's most the primary focus will be getting off to a much better start. October is going to be huge for this team. So it's two trips out west right away in the month of October, a lot of road games. So at that time to for the team to get closer, but that first month is going to be pretty integral to what this team does and what their playoff chances are going to be.
And Arizona has they're playing in that 5,000 seat in arena.
Yeah.
At ASU. That'd be a different after service.
It'll be intimate and interactive, Donald. That's the thing. You're going to be right on top of everything. So, you know, obviously Fridays and Saturdays are going to be like not on because the Sun Devils play their games there, right? And same with the female hockey team. And Fridays and Saturdays are loaded, right? That's when college hockey goes. So the weekend hockey game won't be very that available to the Coyotes. I think they play a lot of games in the road to start in October. That's going to be fascinating going to that rink. What a great campus already. I've seen Arizona State before. Obviously, never been in the hockey rink, but I've been to their basketball stadium, and it's a pretty cool campus. So it'll be that campus kind of thing going on. And the Jets only go to Arizona once this year, so the one and done this season there. But long ways to go in that building. For the Arizona Coyotes, it'll be fascinating to see how this turns out, how they make this whole thing work.
Yeah, as a former Manitoba Moose, Eddie Lack is down there in ASU.
Yeah.
So wonder if he make an appearance.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Is there any? That guy is like one of the best characters in the game. So if he's gonna be around, I'm all for that. He was one of the funnest guys to cover and watch play in the National Hockey League, and still remains a great presence on social media.
Yeah, and I had the pleasure of interviewing him on my podcast not too long ago. So,
yeah. See, win-win. You've had a great summer, Don.
Yeah. So he's a great guy, and so
No question.
Yes. So I'm looking forward to opening day in October 14th, I believe. And 14th, 15th there, open day against the New York Rangers. So that's not
14th, my man.
Yeah,
training camp's great. Preseason games are painful, but you know it's all exciting that you get to see the Rangers. I think that's a great first opening game, and then it's just right on the road right after. I think they play Toronto after that. I can't remember now. My memory serves me incorrectly at this moment, but a lot of road games in October. But October 14th will be a lot of fun to get this going. A little bit later start, but here we are, and it'll give you a little bit longer, more time in the fall to get things ready for the upcoming season. Another long one, COVID free, hopefully.
Yes, I've seen where I think there's a game against Chicago, and there's like a 9 p.m. start in Winnipeg.
Yeah. That's television, Donald. That's what they do to us.
Yeah.
Gotta fit us in.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing. That's like a BC time start here, so.
Yeah, why not? What else what else do people have to do besides better than instead of waiting till 9 o'clock at night to get to a game?
Yeah, especially in Winnipeg, so.
Yeah. I know, man. Downtown will be bustling.
Yes. Okay. And thanks for coming on.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on your day off, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Front Row Podcast. Download the show on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts. Contact us on Twitter or Instagram at Podcast Front Row and join in the conversation. Catch us next time on the Front Row Podcast.